Go to 3 John. 3 John. There are no chapters, so we'll just look at a few verses in 3 John, if you would. This morning we won't get out of the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John books of the Bible. And if you can, I'd like for you to stand for 8 verses in reference to the Scriptures this morning. If you can't stand, that's all right. Just enjoy the time that we have together here. All right, 3 John and verse 1, the Bible said, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius." Notice, well-beloved. Isn't that wonderful to have that testimony? Well-beloved Gaius. Remember Gaius. "Whom I loved in the what? Truth, beloved. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of what? Truth that is in thee, even thou, as thou walkest in what? Truth." Notice there's the word truth mentioned many times here in these 8 verses. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what? Truth, beloved. Now, 3 times we've seen this word, beloved. He said there, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness to the charity before the church. When if thou bring forward on thy journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because for his name's sake, I went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Therefore, he said, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers in the what? Truth. I want to entitle those 8 verses with the title of Difference Makers. Difference Makers. It's just good, and we all ought to, during this pandemic that we're in this coronavirus time that we're in, we ought to be a difference maker. Somebody that can help in time of need. And our country has a lot of needs right now. Our churches have a lot of needs. It just seems like they've tried to make gophers out of us and groundhogs out of us. Amen. And we're all locked in and quarantined and all of that from time to time. And social distance. This is the most separated our churches in America have ever been. Amen. That's a play on words there. But I'll tell you what. God is still on the throne. The old ship of Zion still sails. The captain still invites, come on in and come on aboard. Amen. And one of these days we're going to get to that fair and wonderful land of eternity called heaven. And we just can't quit. We can't quit witnessing no matter what the problem. You read the pandemics of yesteryear, even the times where folks were quarantined in the Bible, and they came out on the victory side every time. Every time. It also seems to me like it could be like the end of the age of the church. I don't know. I hope not, but I do hope for the revival, don't you? I pray for the revival, and I do also pray for the rapture, that God would give us that. Let's bow our heads as I talk to you a little bit about difference makers. Father, bless, I pray, use this time together. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity revival. Lord, it's been my life now for 45 years, trying to see revival amongst God's people and the churches here in our country. Use this time, encourage us all during a time, Lord, where it just seems so hard for so many people. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to start out with a name, a person by the name of Desmond Doss. You may not know him, but I'll introduce him to you. Desmond Doss was the very first medic to receive the Medal of Honor in World War II. And he was a great difference maker. Desmond Doss was born on February 7th of 1919. He passed away March 23rd of 2006. He was a U.S. Army corporal and a combat medic. He was part of the infantry company of World War II. He was awarded two bronze medals for the action that he was in Guam and also in the Philippines, and with the patch of V for valor. But the battle that I want to talk to you about is Okinawa. He was in Okinawa, and he received the Medal of Honor. That Medal of Honor was given to him by President Harry S. Truman, and it was given to him on October the 12th, 1945, for two reasons, he said, the president said, because of his refusal to seek cover, and number two, because he went far and beyond the call of duty. Who was Desmond Doss? We may not know him, but there was two books written about him. One was Conscientious Objector, and one was Hacksaw Ridge. They made a movie out of that one, I think. But he was this kind of a man. He received the Purple Heart because of many reasons. He was wounded four times. And this was before he was taken from his position. Wounded four times before he was evacuated on the USS Mercy. He was hit by sniper bullets. He had broken his left arm, had 17 pieces of shrapnel embedded into his body, but he rescued, are you listening? He rescued 75 men. Everybody else left that hill of Hacksaw Ridge, but he stayed up there. And if you knew what was going on, the Japanese would come by and they would shoot anything that moved. If you twitched, they would stab you and they would shoot you dead. And many times he would listen for cries of the wounded. Many times he would listen and watch for movement between all of the gunfire and the smoke of Hacksaw Ridge. But then he would hear a sound and he would crawl as best he could, camouflaging himself from the enemy. He would go to that wounded person and he would say, I'm going to rescue you. Just stay with me. And he would tend to them medically the best way he could. And he had a rope. He found a rope and he tied it to a tree at the end of the ridge. And he drugged those bodies, those wounded bodies, 75 of them, to the end of that ridge where everybody else had already escaped. And all the American troops were down below. And he would put them down one at a time off of that rope by his own body strength. Remember, he had broken one arm. Remember, he had already been shot four times. And he let them down the best way he could. 75 men. 75 times. Till finally, the general below asked, who is this person up there? What is going on? Is he by himself? And everybody said, that's Desmond Doss. He's the medic, sir. And he's rescuing lives still above. And every time that they would walk by, he would lay still under dead bodies many times. He'd cover himself with dead bodies. Many times he would get in a hole where he couldn't be seen. And then when it seemed like they would leave for a few minutes, he'd get right back up, tie them onto the rope, help them medically, and help them over the hill. I don't know about you, but it sounds to me like Desmond Doss was a difference maker. All of those men testified that that man saved his life at that battle. And I think of people today in my life who I count as a difference maker. I think your pastor's a difference maker. Staying in one place for 20 years, trying to seek revival in this town and trying to keep this beautiful church full and doing what God has asked him to do in his call. That's a difference maker. When I think of a difference maker, I think of my little mother. She taught for 40 years a 2- and 3-year-old class in Sunday school. And nobody wants that age, it seems sometimes, but she just stayed with it all of those times. And my dad, I told you a while ago, same bus route, same church, 50 years on the same bus route. 50 years. I had no excuse. I came up in a good home. Amen. I didn't come up in a preacher's home. My daddy was a boilermaker. He worked for boilers and boiler companies, and then he had his own for several decades. And he would come home many times just black with soot. And if anybody was in his chair, you better get out, because when he come in, he wanted to sit down and rest a while. Amen. He was tired. And that was Daddy's chair. And I love my dad for being a hard worker. He got several awards for being just the kind of hard worker that he was. But he loved church. And he loved the bus route. They called him the candy man. When he'd walk around the church, he'd have candy. When he'd go bus route visiting, he'd have candy. He'd come to West Virginia, where our campgrounds is. You know, the Lord transplanted me from Texas to West Virginia. Now this is 45 years ago. And you know, you never know where the Lord's going to put you, but you try to be faithful. We even started a cemetery there because I want my bag of bones to be put where God called me. Amen. I'm going to serve the Lord right where God called me, and all the way to my last breath, God willing. And so anyway, my dad would come to West Virginia and visit us, but he had to be back by Saturday. He was fidgety. He was anxious. I said, "What's wrong, Dad?" He says, I gotta get back from my bus route. I got to make sure my bus kids are taken care of. I got to make sure they get on the bus on Sunday. Nowadays, because of this virus, buses have been shut down by the thousands everywhere. I want to see it start up again, don't you? I want to see the day where churches can thrive again and bring in the what I call the mission field of America, the little boys and girls on the bus route. And I thank God so much for the buses. My wife's a bus kid. She rode the buses 10 years. 10 years. Her mother wasn't too proud to put her and five children in that family on a bus, and her mother would ride the bus too. Their daddy, or her husband, and my wife's daddy, was a drunkard. He got saved before he died, praise the Lord. But I mean, they came to church on a bus, a church bus. Wasn't too proud to get on that bus, and they loved coming to church. Well, I thank God for those who are difference makers. Difference makers. My secretary rode the bus for the first time on my daddy's bus to church. Got saved off of my daddy's bus route. She's been my secretary now for 27 years. She's got two secretarial degrees. Went to Bible college. Off of a bus route. Right now her mother is there at West Virginia visiting her for the month of August. And all of them from the bus route. So I thank God for difference makers. And I know there's some in this room. I just don't know your stories. But I thank God for folks who are just diligent to the task. Diligent to the needs of people. Diligent to the cause of Christ. It was said of Desmond Doss that he liked to say, "Stand up, stand out, but don't stand down. Stand up, stand out, but don't stand down." That ought to be our motto. Amen. Just keep going no matter what. And live proactive, that means on purpose, not reactive. This whole world is reactive to fear right now. This whole world is reactive to panic right now. This whole world is reactive to what people say on the television. But we ought to be reactive to the Bible, amen, and proactive to His cause. And don't quit. There are many, many reasons why we could quit. The devil just mounts them up all the time. And this is one of the biggest reasons in my life. I've never seen the whole world paralyzed. I've seen wars paralyze nations, but I've never seen anything like this paralyze the whole world. And it seems like from the mouth of a scientist, you know. I've just never seen anything like that in all my life. It's frustrating, isn't it? It's confusing. But there ought to still be, in the midst of all of the trouble, there ought to be some difference makers. Somebody who won't forget the little kids on the bus route. Somebody who won't forget the Sunday school classrooms. I mean, we still have to make sure those kids know about Jesus. He mentioned the FM channel, and he mentioned Facebook Live, and sometimes in our country, and I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of pastors who say people have gotten used to that and they won't come back to the assembly. It's tough, isn't it? And I understand all the reasons why. If you're an elderly person, I fit all those categories of nope. You're not supposed to get out in public. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to. They've got my mother in such a panic that she won't even get in the car and drive around town. I said, "Mom, you can at least go through a drive-thru and get you a sandwich or something." "I can?" "Yes, Mom, you can." "Well, I didn't think they'd let me." And there's fear everywhere. Somebody has to be a difference maker to those people. Somebody has to be a difference maker to the folks that are affected so much by what's going on in our life today. I think of Abraham. He was a difference maker when he became the one who led Israel's nation. I think of Joseph, second in charge in Egypt. How you like the way he was put in a position where he couldn't do what he wanted to do, and yet God used him. He wasn't even an Egyptian. Moses, I put down beside his name bush, bondage, and let my people go. I mean, God used Moses in unusual ways. Unusual ways. But he led the people of Israel out of bondage, didn't he? Yes, it was wonderful. Think of David. David was a keeper of the sheep, but he became a king. He became a king, and he was the last choice when he should have been the first choice to be king. The last choice of a family, that is. But he should have been the first choice of kingship in Israel. But the truth is, my friend, David was used of God, and he was known as the man after God's own heart. You think of Esther. Esther was a queen that saved a nation. God made her a difference maker. You think of the three Hebrew children. They wouldn't bow, you know the phrase. They wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. That story is such an amazing story to me. And yet they became a difference maker. A difference maker. So much that the king turned to the Lord. So much that the king was changed and had the heart and the mind of Christ, the mind of God. As a matter of fact, he was the one. I see a fourth person, and he's like the Son of God. He mentions the Son of God in the fire. How about Daniel? Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't take of the king's meat or drink. And he had a great testimony. He was the one that prayed towards Israel. He was the one that was thrown in the lion's den. Hey, listen, we've suffered, but we've never had suffering like some of these men. And yet they were difference makers. And the prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, difference makers. How about the minor prophets? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Malachi. Difference makers. And then Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. He took 12 disciples, trained them, and those 12 men turned the entire world upside down. That's what the Bible said. Those are not my words. They turned the entire world upside down. Difference makers. And we're here today because of those 12 trainees. Don't laugh at training in Bible institutes that you try to do. Don't laugh at and sell short folks who want to get more knowledge of the Bible. You just never know what God can use them and how God can take them and change their circumstances and others as well. When you think of the New Testament, the first name that pops in our mind out of the whole New Testament is somebody like Paul. Paul, known as the great missionary, the greatest Christian, and all kinds of testimonies and accolades that Paul, that you could give Paul. He was a difference maker. He was a difference maker. He handled the Word of God. He handled the gospel right. And he handed it to us for our generation that we could live what he was handed down to him. But I want you to notice something. By the way, there are three unusual men mentioned in this book of the Bible. One was Gaius. Gaius, that's who I want to talk about here in just a minute. As you witnessed with me when you read that four times he was called beloved. Beloved. Beloved by John the Beloved. I mean, it's an amazing story about Gaius. Now, I don't know about three Gaiuses, maybe four Gaiuses in the Bible, if I remember my study right. But I think this is the Gaius who was baptized by Paul. Just my opinion. We get to heaven, I'm asking, ain't it so, Gaius? Amen. But I just tried to put this together. I tried to get my timelines out. I tried to study the geographic and all of that and the chronologies. And I think this is him. You know, Paul was the one that said, I can't remember anybody but three that I baptized. Crispus, Gaius, and Stephanus. And he said, I didn't baptize a lot of people because you probably would have thought you were baptized of Paul. But he said, I want you to know the gospel before you know about the water. Amen, in short. And so it's more important to be saved than it is to be baptized, although it is a command, the very first command of obedience that we do. And Gaius is one of those testimonies. He's one of those men. And then in this chapter, this book of the Bible, you'll find Demetrius. Everybody ought to have a testimony like Demetrius. Demetrius was known for his love. And he was, the Bible said in verse number 12, he was good and true. Good and true. That's a good testimony, amen. But then right in the middle of all of this, you'll find the name Diotrephes. Every church Seems like they have one or two of these guys. The Bible said, if you'll kind of look at a couple of words here, verse number 10, the Bible said he was prating against us with malicious words. That word prating means empty words, foolish words that mean nothing, just blurting out a bunch of stuff. And then he said they were malicious words. I found out, you know, when you're assembling with people, you got to keep your mouth shut sometimes. You got to bite your tongue other times. Amen. When you're assembling with people, your opinions do matter. But he was one of these. Diotrephes was one of these that he wasn't known to be the beloved one. As a matter of fact, he was a church member that didn't want outside church members. He didn't want anybody else to come in. He would just ask them to leave. It's not a very good church member, is it? Amen. And so, out of these three men, I think this testimony of Gaius is the one I want you to know about. He was the difference maker. It was said of him that he was in four verses, he was beloved. And it said he walked in truth in verse 3 and 4. It said he was had a faithful work in verse 5 and 6. He was a man of truth, which leads me to my first point here. You still with me? Say amen. And that is, oh, it's time, isn't it? It is time. Sorry, but I've got to look into too many things. Let me give you my four points. Truth was one thing he was known for. He walked in truth. That's what the Bible said. Second of all, he was faithfully. The Bible said he doeth faithfully what he does. God help us to be faithful. And the third thing, he was a witness. His witness was not so much witnessing to people, but it was his witness of the charity for the church. He loved the church. And that was his witness, his charity for the church. And then he was a fellow helper, means he was complement to the church. I'm glad that there are difference makers in this world. I'm glad somebody made a difference in my life. I'm glad I had some mentors that I looked up to and could be, and just followed them all the way till their day of a funeral. They were faithful. Well, God bless you today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time. Thank you for these sweet people. Lord, precious memories that we have together. Help us all during this time to be difference makers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.